I want to welcome Agile XRM to the podcast. I've known the people at Agile XRM for the past 12 years. I've seen how their business process management tool can add massive value to complex organizational processes in sectors such as finance and government. If you have complex processes or a need for dialogues on the Power Platform or Dynamics 365, take a look at how this BPM tool can add value. You can find them at agilexrm.com or check out the show notes for more details. Welcome to the Power 365 show, where I interview staff at Microsoft across the Power Platform and Dynamics 365 technology stack. I hope you'll find this podcast educational and inspire you to do more with this great technology. Now, let's get on with the show. Today's guest is from Washington in the United States, and we're going to talk about field service. What's the state of play, where things are at now, and what is coming? He's a principal program product manager of Dynamics 365 Field Service at Microsoft. You can find links to his bio, LinkedIn, and anything else he's done in the digital domain in the show notes for this episode. Anything we discuss resources-wise will also be in those show notes. With that, Hector, welcome to the show.
Hey, Mark. Thank you for having me. I'm super excited to be here.
Good to have you on the show. We've, you know, chatted a bit in the last month or so, especially since MVP Summit. But before we drill into field service, just tell us a bit about food, family, and fun for you. What do you do when you're not doing Microsoft?
Ooh, what do I do when I'm not doing Microsoft? I mostly spend time with my 3.5-year-old and my wife, trying to survive the Washington state weather these days because it's way rainier than we'd like it to be.
Wow.
Hopefully at some point we'll have some summer here. Who knows? Mm-hmm. And then I just like to go cycling and running and skiing in the winter. Mostly that's what I do. And read nonfiction.
Nice. When it comes to cycling, running, and skiing, you're in the probably one of the perfect places on the planet.
Yes, when it's not raining, yes.
Yeah, when it's not raining. Totally, totally. How have you found it moving post-COVID, kind of moving back into the office and getting back into, you know, how are you balancing the work from home, work from office type, you know, environment that we're all going through at the moment?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, in general, at Microsoft, we have a very hybrid approach where everybody have the opportunity to like choose what fit for them. What works for me is like, I'm in the office 50% of the time. So for example, I usually go Monday, Tuesday, Thursdays is my in office. And I take the opportunity to do most of my one-on-ones with my directs, with my leaders and peers and things like that. So just so I can get fostered a little bit more like the people connection.
Nice.
And then my focus days tend to be days like Friday and Wednesday, which I take the opportunity to do like research focus time or do like interviews like these, customers that are remote, et cetera.
I like it. Tell us about field service. When somebody says, hey, you know, you meet them socially, let's say, and so in other words, outside of Microsoft land, and somebody says, you know, so they don't know what we do type thing. What when they say, you know, what's this Dynamics 365 field service thing? How do you explain that in layman's terms?
Yeah, I'd say, have you ever seen a technician in your home or somewhere doing something? The answer is usually yes.
Mm-hmm.
And then they say like, well, how do you think that person got there? How do you think their work got defined? How do you think they're fixing the problem, and how do you think they're communicating back to you? Mm-hmm. And they were just like, well, I may or may not heard about that. It's like, that's what field service does. You know, like putting the right field engineering in the right place at the right time, fixing the right thing, and communicating with you as fast as possible.
Yeah. Nice. Nice. How long's field service now been in the business? You know, I was there when the announcement was, I was in Seattle at the time, when the announcement of the acquisition of a range of tool sets, you know, came in. I can't even remember the company now that was acquired. What was the
Field
name?
One.
Field One, yeah. Were you part of Field One?
No. I am like Microsoft born and raised, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I've been in Microsoft for 8 years, and I was leading remote assist first. So field service has been in market, I think, GA. I think this is the 6th or 7th year.
Yep.
Don't quote me. Yep. But it's been a number of years. And then I've been mostly involved as a director of PM for field service in the last 2 years.
Gotcha. So it's a mature, established product now, you know, in the portfolio. What's the state of play? If you were to give me, you know, for somebody that's been in the channel a while, an update of where Field Service sits now, what it's, you know, from a market dominance position, where's the white space, where's the opportunity, where's, you know, because I always, the way I would talk about it is that, you know, why Microsoft got into this space is that there was no real dominant player. Everybody was home growing to the most part. When they needed an application, if you're a service company that, you know, maintained the lifts in a building or the escalators in a building, you would build an app, you know, that at some point, because it wasn't kind of like a solution off the shelf. And of course, one of the biggest challenges anybody had with any solution was the mobility piece, right? We need a worker that can go on site. They're going to need certain tools. They're going to need certain inventory products to do the fix. They're going to do the maintenance for cycle, et cetera. And I say that's why Microsoft entered the space, because there was no clear dominant player. Now we've been in the space for a while. What's the landscape like in the market from your perspective? What do you look at? Where are we kind of positioned? How do we stand globally at the moment?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. I think there's a couple of things to unpack. Let me talk about the market first, and then we'll talk about the competitive landscape.
Yeah,
I think from a market standpoint, I think we're seeing an explosion of use cases when it relates to what I broadly define not only field service, but like service and maintenance operations.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is due to a myriad of factors, but I would say a few things. One, the digitalization of the front-end workers. More and more companies want to actually bring, you know, like digital tools for the front-end workers. Like in the past, the typical flow would be like, I'll do pen and paper, or mm-hmm. I'll do something, and then I go back to my home or to my desk, and I'll just fill all those things that I did. Now, you know, like more and more as mobile phones become more powerful and cheaper, like that consumerization that we saw in the information worker in sales and marketing, et cetera, say like 10 years ago, we're seeing it now in front-end workers, which I think is huge.
Mm-hmm.
The second trend I see is like, the digitalization of the assets, but like we're going from this like system of record, traditional, first of all, we're going from sometimes asset records being in isolation. So maybe your ERP has some asset data, and then your service and maintenance has some asset data, your customers have some data, but like we're seeing this explosion of like all the assets getting together and really turning into something that they can connect or they can get signal from, and they can, you know, you can really turn it into a digital twin. And I don't really like that word because it's so overused, but like, the others will get my point. And I think the third trend is like the digitalization of the spaces itself, right? Like I was in the IoT team for a while, for a long time before being in mixed reality. And for a while we thought everything was going to be connected. And now we're seeing that there's a lot of already connected devices like cameras and phones, et cetera. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. They're actually giving you a lot of insights that you can get advantage from. So I think the explosion of these three things are making it so that the market is not field service anymore. Because we're seeing field service scenario on healthcare, on infrastructure, on banking, on finance, on what have you. So mm-hmm. that would make it like super, super attractive in my opinion. It's like we're trying to create the next suite of capabilities for the front-end worker, just as like, say, Office or Dynamics had it for the information worker. In sales, marketing, customer service, et cetera. Am I making sense?
Yeah. That totally makes sense.
So that's one. And then I think from a competitor standpoint, it's a fascinating environment, because I think on the one hand, we have our, what I call, for the lack of a better term, the usual suspects, which is, you know, Microsoft, Salesforce, IFS, Oracle, et cetera, right? We're all trying to go at the space from a different angle. For us, it's all about like, connected assets, people and places, end to end, from back office to front office, et cetera. But we also have a lot of like really interesting ISVs and players who are not necessarily associated with like, say, traditional field service, but they're coming to like fleet management, connected equipment, et cetera. For example, say Samsara, right? Mm-hmm. It's a super interesting ISV that is being up and coming more from the IoT space, but they're getting much more into the processes. So like that makes it like super interesting. And then, of course, you have like, you know, like small companies, which the one that's like, I think it's Upkeep. It's another one that we keep seeing, et cetera. So super, super, super fun place to be right now.
So what's happened in the last couple of years within the team, within the product? You know, as in I had some feedback probably 6 months ago from the market that there didn't seem to be many new announcements coming out around field service. It was like last year seemed pretty quiet as a whole when we look at the release cycle, you know, coming out of Microsoft. I know there have been some changes. What's your lens on this?
Yeah. So one of the things that, so when I took over field service like in late 2020, one of the things I saw was capability-wise, you know, great, man. I can take so many capabilities. We've spent so much time in the first 4 or 5 years shipping all the features, right? Like got into the magic quadrant. We got into like all those things. But then I thought, okay, our growth was incredible, right? In terms of exponential growth, number of new customers, you know, pumping in. So what we really did last year was just like set the foundation to make sure that we continue to accelerate that growth. So a lot of the things that we've done last year are not like necessarily shiny things, but we prioritize, you know, we've prioritized a lot of like the scale, the growth, et cetera, even though, you know, we've shipped all the customer engagement portal features, you know, we shipped a lot of the things in the new mobile app, we've shipped improvements in the work order form. But I would say we've actually been much more focused on making much better what we have than actually expanding a lot. I'll give you an example on the kind of growth that I'm talking about. 3 years ago, I would say we have a few tenants, you know, some good amount, but, you know, not crazy, of people who use IoT in production, connected field service in production, right? And we have a few million assets connected, right? Right now, we're on path to make the 1 billion assets in field service.
1 billion.
Yes. Wow. And when we're also, and we have several dozens of million connected devices in field service. So like, and this only happened in the last 2 to 3 years. Right. So you can imagine the type of like, you know, like the you have to really make sure that customers are happy with what they have and can scale to this kind of thing. So we've been spending a lot of time on this, like listening to customer feedback, et cetera. And it's also been forming kind of like our new holistic vision, which I was referring to a little bit, which is, I think what we're going to be all about in the future is like more in linking the people, places and things, right? Like, so how do we make sure that you have with field service, how do we make sure you have an environment when you can leverage, you know, computer vision AI to be able to like, you know, like create a work order and also put yourself a HoloLens so you can do a spatial anchoring and be able to diagnose the asset, but also have the best scheduling capabilities if you're in the back office, right? So like today, as you know, right, it still takes a lot of work to put all these pieces together or some work. We actually want to make it much more adaptable and much more faster pace for our customers and partners. That's what we're all about.
Nice. I want to look at two kind of core areas of the system, one being the scheduling system that you just mentioned, and also then mobility. Are we at a type of a status now from a mobility that all the kind of use cases you've seen come in from the market that were addressed, or do you see there's still, you've got still got a roadmap of work to do in the mobility space? How do you feel about the mobile experience now, and is it meeting all the market's needs predominantly?
If you're looking for a structured way to enhance your career in Dynamics 365 and the Power Platform, this is for you. Enrollment for the 90-Day Mentoring Challenge April to June cohort are now open. I discovered MS CRM in 2003 and it changed the course of my life. My career in Dynamics 365 and the Power Platform has taken me all over the world, and the opportunities for people to build a career in the space today are better than ever. The 90-Day Mentoring Challenge will help you chart a path to capitalize on these opportunities and build the skills for greatness. Find out more at ako.nz365guy.com. For the first time, I'm limiting space on this cohort for a more intimate experience. So if you want to be part of it, don't wait. Enrollment will close on the 25th of March. Podcast listeners can use the code PODCAST for a 10% discount at checkout.
So I think in terms of use cases, we're seeing more and more use cases every day. You know, I was just talking to a customer, to a company the other day that were using Field Service Mobile for their doctors and nurses as they were doing, you know, like trips to the field in the middle of nowhere. And they wanted to report, you know, like hearing, you know, hearing studies and things like that. So like, never thought about that. And I never thought they would need offline, you know, because of that type of persona. So I think mobility in the frontline worker space never ceases to surprise me in that sense. I think specifically with Field Service Mobile, our customers are taking our app now in production, especially the new app, the power-based app, etc. Mm-hmm. They're taking our application to the extreme in a good way, right? They're pushing the envelope, and you know, we're putting a lot of emphasis right now on like offline scenarios, mm-hmm. but not mm-hmm. offline, like complete offline or complete online, but those edge cases, what happens when you go from one bar to three bars or four bars to two bars, you know, all those things that make it super tricky. We hear the feedback loud and clear, and we're putting a lot of emphasis into that. But I truly believe, Mark, that in terms of like frontline worker scenarios, I think we have our job cut out for the next 10 years because it's going to continue to like push the envelope. Right now, for example, another key area of focus for now is like, okay, how do we bring together all these MR capabilities that have been very innovation focused for a little bit? Like, obviously, there's some big broader use and all that, but sometimes it would land in the innovation teams, or maybe I do it in a factory, or I do it in one particular geography, or one particular set of technician that has the willingness to pay for an expensive headset. Mm-hmm. One of the things we're thinking about is like, how do you actually democratize all of that so that every field service customer can instantly have MR capabilities?
Yeah.
Right? So that's where we're putting a lot of time into it.
So if you're thinking about that scenario, I take it you're not thinking about it from a headset perspective, but more whatever the mobile device that I have, I can, you know, bring up the camera and go, okay, let's get the digital overlay of my physical world. That's phenomenal.
I mean, most people today use phones, right? And even in the, like, I think there's a market for headsets. The way I think about this is like 15 years ago, all we had was like, or 20 desktop PCs, right? And then we came some mobile PCs or mobile laptops, and they were very bulky. And then the portfolio started like, then we got the tablets, and then we got like thinner, you know, thinner computers and all those things. And then if you have an organization of like 1,000 people, you're going to have a myriad of people. Some people will need a super, super powerful machine. Some people are going to use a tablet, whatever. So for me, head-mounted devices is just another form factor.
Yeah.
That is, it's going to be optimal for some workers. It's going to be optimal for other workers. Won't be optimal, right? So a lot of our field technicians still have Class C devices today, right? Like, so you tell them about going from a Class C device to put themselves like a real wearer, a HoloLens or whatever, and that's a big leap. Right, it's a big change. So we just need to make sure we democratize. Microsoft has always been about democratizing technology to people, if you really think about it. Our trademark has always been take something that looks extremely complex and expensive, like, for example, databases, and then launch SQL and disrupt. Windows Server, you know, Linux was like this. Then come Windows Server, boom, disrupt. Yeah. The Power Apps come to local development, Visual Studio. Like it's all trademark over and over again. And this is what we want to do, the same thing in field service for the frontline worker technicians.
I like it. Looking at that other area, the whole scheduling system, and you know, it's an amazing tool and it's a complex thing to get right. What are you thinking about, and without any NDA stuff, roadmap future around your scheduling? What are you hearing perhaps even from the market or requests that people would like to see happen?
I think, you know, the vision is to have, I think what we've seen right now is like our experiences and in general, the way the market has been thought about this has been very like, okay, you either do manual scheduling or you do assisted scheduling or you do automatic scheduling, right? Yeah. And those are like few different experiences that are somehow connected, but they don't feel seamless. They don't feel like a slider that you can just like, you can choose depending on your context, right? And then I also think that sometimes the, you know, optimizer, you know, like our optimization tools. And I think in general, optimization tools, I don't think they've been super user-friendly in general. But I think they've been very much like, okay, you really need to know what you're doing. And also sometimes the algorithm is not giving you back what you wanted. Like, why are you even optimizing like this? Therefore, then it creates this like mistrust on the business persona who's doing it. It's like, okay, I don't know any idea what you're doing. It's almost like, for example, think about Bing Maps. Now you trust Bing Maps on the traffic because there's been repeated times where they prove you that they can do it better than you. So we need to create the same type of trust, right, in the user of the optimized scheduling, knowing that sometimes it's a traditional user who doesn't want to use automation because they think that drag and dropping is better. So I would say two things that are top of mind for me in that area. Number one, making sure we make the experiences between manual, automated, and fully optimized, assisted and fully optimized, seamless. Into one single user experience, depending on your case. And then use much more suggestions, right? We notice that you're doing this. Do you want to do that? Another example I will give to your audience is like, think about Viva, if you ever use it. Right? Like Viva gives you suggestions about your scheduling. And Viva gives you suggestions about blocking time. So we want to do something like that in scheduling, right? We want to give the dispatchers some suggestions. So that's one. And I think the other one is like, we just need to make optimization engines way simpler, right? Complicated in the back, in the mix, in the guts of it, but very simple to the user experience. It's like most people, when, for example, when you do AI, most people don't know if you're using AI or not. So we shouldn't just put technology in your face. We should just make it easy for you so that you can consume it. So like those are my two priorities, like seamless, a manual assisted, fully automated, and also a much more easier user experience on the optimization side of things.
I like it. You've talked about some unique use cases that you're starting to see more and more. You talked about healthcare there. What are some of the other use cases that you're seeing grow in dominance? So not so much interested in the edge cases, you know, the one-offs, but what are you seeing more prevalent, you know, use cases for using Dynamics 365?
Yeah, I think for some of our more classic field service audience, this is going to be like, of course, Hector, but I'm just going to say it because those are the two canonical scenarios that we're seeing. They continue to work really well. Number one is like everything as a service, right? Rentals, product as a service, et cetera. Mm-hmm. Like contract-based maintenance and things like that, you know, like outcome-based, super, super important. We're seeing it across the board, but especially discrete manufacturers. Everybody wants to get to that. You know, I always say that sometimes if you think about at least the model that iPhone has in the States, right? Like right now they move to a service, like you pay a fee and you have a phone and you have an issue, you take it, you repair it, and every year you change it and you don't care. You're just paying $50 or whatever it is. I think people want to get to that golden standard for like not consumer devices, sometimes consumer devices, but also like, you know, equipment, machinery, engines, you name it. That's number one. The other segment that we're seeing is growing incredibly is smart buildings and facilities management. Like, I think we're seeing a lot of traction across the board on, you know, property managers, companies, rentals, the whole spectrum of what you would define facilities real estate, which is cross industry, obviously. Everybody wants to have a better service and maintenance story. For example, a company like us, Microsoft, we've actually used, and it's public information, we use Dynamics to do our own facilities management, right?
Yes.
Better customer experience for our employees and better, you know, optimized resources for them. And then we work well, obviously, with the traditional providers like CBRE and others to make sure that they maintain the business, et cetera. Great. A lot of companies like us are trying to do the same thing. And then there's like the traditional providers, right? And we just announced a partnership with CBRE, I think it was a couple months ago, on how we're helping them transform their platform for facilities management. So not every company that can afford or wants to do this, they can use CBRE to make it happen. And we're doing this across the board with a lot of companies, whether you're in rental properties, what have you. Super interesting use cases.
Yeah. What's next? What's, you know, you've talked about some of the things that you're passionate on. What else are you thinking about in the coming 12, 24 months, you know, to land and market?
Yeah, a lot of exciting news that I can't really talk about just yet. But what I'll say is we're excited. It's never been a better time for Microsoft to be in field service. And what I would call like we call this internally the physical operations, right? Because at the end of the day, it was all about, right? And you're going to see a lot of noise coming from what does it mean to do physical operations in the real world, in the industrial metaverse, you know, like in every part that is being played. What does it mean for companies to transform their frontend workers? What does it mean to connect people, places, and things into a seamless SaaS experience? Because, you know, for a while we've heard of all these things, but it's mostly been a past story, right? Yeah. We give you the Lego block and you build it and you have an ISV, et cetera. How do we actually democratize this in a business application, right? And if you think about it, for me, and you know, this is my own metaphor, which is the CRM business was disrupted 20 years ago in the cloud. Before that, it was all kind of like legacy tools, and there's not like, and then the gold standard came, and everybody started doing CRM, right? I think that moment in field service and physical operations is about to come. Nice. Where we're going to start seeing a new paradigm or how people use tools, SaaS tools. And, you know, I think in 10 years, what is CRM for sales and customer service today, which is like, duh, of course we're doing this. Mm-hmm. I think the same thing in a few years is going to be for service operations and physical operations and asset management, et cetera.
I love it. Resources. Where can people go to find more resources around field service? Where do you direct people?
So I usually point them to, like, we have a YouTube channel for field service. Mm-hmm. We also have like an incredible amount of resourcings on Microsoft.com. I also will point them to the ideas portal if they want to get feedback. You know, we track that ideas portal very carefully, mm-hmm. and we get tracked on that as well. And then the learning paths. You know, there's learning paths in the Microsoft site. You know, I think if you type, you know, we can give you the link so you can put it in the notes as well.
Totally.
If you track the learning mm-hmm. paths for field service, you'll be able to get started on the various technologies.
I love it. Hector, thanks so much for coming on the Power 365 show.
Mark, it's been my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me, and thanks everybody for listening.
Hey, thanks for listening. I'm your host, Business Application MVP Mark Smith, otherwise known as the MZ365 guy. If there's a guest you'd like to see on the show from Microsoft, please message me on LinkedIn. If you want to be a supporter of the show, please check out buymeacoffee.com/MZ365guy. How will you create on the Power Platform today? Ciao. Before you go, a quick reminder that the 90-Day Mentoring Challenge kicks off on the 1st of April. Every cohort, I hear people say that surely this group has been the best one ever. The true magic of the 90-Day Mentoring Challenge is the connections formed between a group of people who are committed to learning with and from each other. Will you be part of the best cohort yet? Use the code PODCAST for 10% off at checkout. Visit ako.nz365guy.com to see a detailed curriculum and hear what past participants have to say about the challenge. I can't wait to help you discover the unique value you bring to the community and just how far you can take your career.